Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. So we've been talking about the Tziruf of the days and what would be considered to be a sisira of the entire days that had been counted, the Machlokes B'Shamay and Beis Hillel, if there's a difference between the first 2 days and the first 3 days, or the Machlokes in Beis Hillel, whether maybe there's a Machlokes, and whether maybe there's a difference in the first 2 days between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, those are all taken for granted that we measure each Re'iya by itself. So whatever that Re'iya is whatever, it can go on for a long time, it can go on for a short time, it's one Re'iya. But how about if you were Ra'a Achat v'hifsik? Now suppose there was one Re'iya, and then there was a break in the Re'iya, and then the Re'iya continued. How long would that break be in order to establish the continuation of the Re'iya to be a different Re'iya? Because remember that when it comes to a male, it's not a function of days. It's a function of the number of Re'iyas, but there is a question of days because you can have the Re'iyas on consecutive days. As long as it's not a hefsek of a day in between, that's what we discussed yesterday. But now we're talking about a hefsek in a Re'iya to turn it into two Re'iyas. What would be a hefsek? Now, initially, we think that you actually need a hefsek. It's going to turn out that the shiur is enough to turn one long re'iyah into two re'iyahs because it's as if there was a hefsek in between. But first, let's just talk about, we gently inch our way into understanding the nature of a hefsek in a re'iyah. So ra'achat, you say this zov has one re'iyah. Now, he goes to the mikveh, and he dries himself. He's got a towel. And that is a shear, which it says in the Tosefta, is a shear of halich of chamishim ames. Now, Lamaisa, there are many different shitas about what that shear is. According to the Rambam, it works out to about a half a minute. So, if he had that amount of time in between, and then he sees an additional two re'iyas, or, now here's where we get into the complication, achat merubakishtayim, or even if there wasn't really a hefsek between them, but basically there's enough time for a re'iya, for a hefsek, if there had been a hefsek, which would have allowed him to be teivel and mistapeg, meaning the halich of chamishim ames, and then a split second for an additional re'iya, because there's no shiur to a re'iya. And if that's the case, remember that the Torah says, oh, hichtim bisaro. Hichtim bisaro means that there's just enough fluid at the very tip of the penis to be able to have like a closure. It looks like it's hichtim bisaro. It looks like there's something that's stuck in the urethra. So that is, of course, doesn't take any time. So for all intents and purposes, what we're talking about over here is the shear of alicha chamishim ama with a mashu. So if it was that long, then it's the equivalent of having a hefsek. And it would be one re'iyah, which would be the same as two. Or, let's say, he was re'iyah shtayin. Or maybe just one. That was merubak shtayin. And then he actually has a hefsek. And then the hefsek is as long as it takes k'day tefillah of a sipuk. And then he has another re'iyah. It's all the same. The point is that according to the Tanakhama, it makes no difference whether what we're talking about is an actual hefsek or we're talking about the possibility of a hefsek with the same shear, which splits a single long re'iyah into two re'iyahs. Now, Mishnah, hey, what about if he had one long re'iyah, which is meruba kishalosh, which is essentially the equivalent of two of the shiurim of kedei tefillah and sipuk. So it's like 100 amas plus. So now the way to know that is the time it would take me to walk from Gadyon or Gadyovon, I don't know how to pronounce this, to the Mea Shiloach. Now, it may be that Rabbanea is familiar with this place called Gadyon.
No, fascinating.
Well, it's time to figure it out, because then we can work out the sheer big machlokas, the Trumas Hadesh, and the Groh, the Ramba. It's like a dozen shitas. Okay, of course, I mean, it wouldn't matter, because the Shaila is, you know, what is the sheer of the, it's not the distance, it's how fast you walk. So, anyway, we wouldn't know, right? Anyway, and that is, of course, the equivalent of the same shear we said before, times two, the shear of Kedei Tefila and Sipur. So if you multiply that by two, it would be Mea Ama, Shem Kedei Shtei Tefilas, Ukishnei Sipugim. So then he becomes a Zov Gomler, and because he basically has exactly the same din as the initial case. You see how we gradually upped the understanding of what this means. First, we thought, well, there needs to be a hefsek. Then we realized, well, there doesn't really need to be a hefsek. There needs to be enough time for there could have been a hefsek. But, I mean, that would be in order to split a ra'iyah into two. I mean, doesn't mean we can keep splitting it, does it? Now we learn, yes, it means you can keep splitting it. And we also gentled our way into this by first separating out the two ra'iyahs, which were actually continuous, and then talked about a case where after those two ra'iyahs, which were continuous, there was a hefsek, and then there was another ra'iyah. And then we got to this case where there was actually no hefsek at all, and there was one ra'iyah that was as long as three ra'iyahs. It's the same thing. And in all of these cases, he is a Zav Gamur, and a Zav Gamur means that not only does he have the Chumrah of Tumas Mishkav U'Meshav, and not only does he have the Chumrah of needing Mayim Chaim, and not only does he have the Chumrah of needing to keep Shivas Nekiim, he also has to bring a Karban at the end in order to be Matrim for Achilas Kachim. So he's also Mechusar Kippurim. And it's essential to remember all of those different steps. Because again, Re'iyah Achas only gives him a din of a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri means that he is not Metame Mishkav U'Moshav. He's just Metame like a regular Baal Keri, in which case his Maga could be Metame, and he goes to the Mikveh and he's Tahor that night. And if he sees again, he is not going to be retroactively Tame, according to Beis Hillel. There's no connection between him and a Shomeret Yom Kineged Yom, who becomes retroactively Tameya. That's the first difference between a single Ria and two Ra'iyas. Two Ra'iyas makes him a Metame Mishkav U'Moshav. Two Ra'iyas means he can't go to the mikveh, he has to go to a Ma'ayan for Mayim Chaim. Two Ra'iyas means that he needs to keep Shivas Nekiim before he can even go to the mikveh. Three ra'iyas mean that in addition to all of the above, he also needs a korban and he's a mechusar kippurim in order to be able to go into the Beis HaMikdash or to eat kachim. So get those simple differences clear and how different they are from the dinim of a nekeva who is immediately metama mishkav u'moshav, and who becomes Tamea retroactively if during that day of Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom, she is Roa again, or if in the second day she's Roa again, but who is not going to need Shivas Nekiim because she was Roa twice, who is not going to be considered to have seen more than once because she has multiple Re'iyas on one day. Those are all one Re'iyah. Doesn't matter how much time was between them. You see the difference. And who is only chayeves to be both yosheves shivas nekiim and bring a korban if she was roya shalosh re'iyas on three consecutive days, not just the re'iyas. So the halachas are very different. Okay. So now we're talking about this case in which he had one long re'iyah, which was the length of the time of the Shtei Tefilas et Shnei Sifugim, which is the same time from Gad Yavan to the Shiloach. Fine. Now, what about you have Ra Achas, Meruba Kishtai? Let's go back to the din where we're not talking about a Re'ia that was as long as two Re'ias that was then connected to a third Re'ia, either before or after. There was only a Re'ia Achas that was Meruba Kishtai. So, according to the Tanakhama, okay, you know what the din is. If there's a Re'ia Achas, Meruba Kishtayim, then he's Metame Mishkav u'Moshav, he needs Mayim Chayim, and he's Patur min HaKorban. What's the problem? Ah, the problem is that we have a Shita that is very different in its approach to the Re'ia Achas Kishtayim, and that is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that this halacha that we have, that it's possible to have one long Re'ia, which as long as there was a hefsek, or as long as, I should not say hefsek, as long as there was a time that was enough for a hefsek of Kadesh Yered V'yitpa V'yistapeg, they didn't say that about two Re'ias. They only said that in three Re'ias. Lo Omru Achas Meruba, Ella im yeshba kidei shalosh re'iyas. If we have a re'iya that is as long as three re'iyas, like in this Mishnah, then eino chinami. There is such a halacha. Now, even though what he says is that it needs to be one re'iya as long as three, it's not what Rabbi Yossi's shita actually is. What Rabbi Yossi means over here is that it should be able to be mitstaref with a total of shalosh re'iyas. So if there's a break, an actual break in between, or there's not an actual break in between, is irrelevant. The point is that one long re'iyah is only meaningful in the context of a total of shalosh re'iyas. That's the point. So if by having one long re'iyah you end up with shalosh re'iyahs, either because this was part of another continuous re'iyah, which was the extent of kishtei tefilas and kishtei sipugim, but it doesn't have to be that way. You could have a normal re'iyah followed by a long re'iyah, which is the equivalent of shtei re'iyah, it's not shalosh, and since in the end the result would be that we've got a zov gadol, or vice versa. You could have a Re'iya Achas, which is Kishtei Re'iyas, break, followed by another Re'iya, which now makes him a Zav Gadol. Rabbi Yossi is moda that in any of those cases, this Kabbalah that we have of the Shir of Re'iya Achas, which is the equivalent of Shtei Re'iyas, actually is effective. He's only saying that if all you have is two Re'iyas, then there's no din of a single re'iyah that is treated as shtei re'iyahs. It would have to actually be a hefsek and not a virtual hefsek because there's enough time for there to have been a hefsek. That's Rabbi Yossi's shita. But remember, if he only had one re'iyah, as long as two re'iyahs, according to Rabbi Yossi, he wouldn't even be metame mishkav u'moshav, because he would be only as tame as a normal balkeri, and therefore it could be tevel in a normal mikvah. He would not become retroactively tame either in the event that he had another re'iyah, right? So according to Rabbi Yossi, a single re'iyah, kishtei re'iyahs, simply leaves him to go to a normal mikvah, not mayim chayim, and tonight, and the same day, and he's immediately Tohar after Harif Shemesh. Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. Now, it's possible for a single Re'iyah to count as two Re'iyahs for another reason, not because of its length of the virtual hefsek, but because it happened on two different days. Now, there you've got a different situation. So let's talk about a case where someone was Re'ia Achas Hayom and then Achas Bein Hashmoshes. So one was before Shkia and one was after Shkia. Now the problem is that the time between Shkia And actual Tzeisach Kochavim is the time that's known as Bein HaShemeshes, and we don't have any way of identifying the tipping point at which it's considered to be on one side of the tipping point, Yom, and on the other side of the tipping point, Laila, and therefore it's always going to be a suffix at which point it was the next day, and we don't know. So, in that case, let's say that he was Reya on Yom Rishon, and now, after Shkia, he is Reya again, and then, on the next day when it was definitely Yom Sheni, meaning could be just a half an hour later, but the point is it's already considered to be Monday today, and it's after the Erev Shem, after the Tzeisach Kochavim. So had we known, if it would be possible to know, now it's not possible to know, but we're trying to set up, what are the svekas here? So let's think about the svekas. If we would have known that part of the Re'iya Bein HaShemeshes was right at that tipping point, and that part of it was considered to be in the previous day, and part of it was considered to be in the next day, so then he would definitely be a Zov Gadol, right? Because, I mean, he would be a Vadai, if we could know. He would be a Vadai, he's Mechuyev to bring a Korban. He would be a Vadai in terms of being Metame, Mishkav Umoshev, because he had a Re'iya on three separate occasions. And that they were Re'iyas that were separated by the day that they were Re'iya in and by the time. So in such a case, there would be no possibility of his being Tahar. And therefore, in the case that we just had, he was definitely Reya on Sunday, we said. And then he was definitely Reya between Sunday and Monday, a Re'iya which was at the tipping point, in which case he was Reya two Re'iyas, if we knew that. Or the second case was that he was Reya Bein HaShemeshes, and if we could know that it was at the tipping point, it would be two Re'iyas. And then we had another Re'iya later that same day in the night or the next morning. Then he would also be 100% of Vadai Zov Gadol, and he would require everything. He would require the dinim of, he would need to actually be Mechuser Kippurim to come into the Beis HaMikdash, have to bring a Korban. He would be Metame Mishkav Umoshav, and all of the Chomres of requiring a Mayim Chaim, and so on. That's what would have been, but we can't really know that. So essentially, if we would have a suffix, which we do have, whether Miktsas of the Re'iya was on the Sunday side of the tipping point, and Miktsas of the Re'iya was on the Monday side of the tipping point, and we really don't know what happened. So then, look, he is definitely a Zov when it comes to Tuma, because he was definitely Roa Shtei Re'iyas. Because even if you'll say that the Re'iya Bein HaShemeshes is only one Re'iya, there was an earlier Re'iya that was during the daytime, or a later Re'iya that was during the daytime of the next day of Monday, and therefore, he at least has two Re'iyas that are consecutive Re'iyas, right? And therefore, what's his din? He definitely needs Shivas Nekiyim, and he's definitely Metame Mishkav Umoshav. But were there three Re'iyas, which would be Bechayavim a Korban? We don't know. Maybe, maybe not. So he's a Suffolk LeKorban. If he's a Suffolk LeKorban, he cannot really bring his normal carbon, but what he can do, remember, he's Mechuyev at Shnei Tziporim, and they are Echaz is an Eila, and Echaz is a Chatas. And therefore, since you're allowed to bring a Chatas Ha'of, because remember, we've been learning in Zvachim, nothing of the Chatas Ha'of goes on the Mizbeach. You just are Zarek the Dam on the Mizbeach, but there's no Iser of being Makriv Chulin Bazara, because you're not going to be Makriv anything. So you could bring a Chatas Ha'of. Of course, the kohen wouldn't be allowed to eat it because it might not be a chatasa of, and you did malika to it. But anyway, you can't eat it, but you can bring it, and you can be mechaper with its dam, and then he can bring the oila as a gift, and he could say, if I'm really a zav that's chayev to bring a mechusar kippurim karban, so then this should be the oila that I'm chayev. And if I'm actually only a zav katan, then I wasn't chayev this, so I want to bring it as a gift, as a karban oila sa'of, which you're allowed to bring. Remember, we learned you could bring a prida achas as a matana to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he'll do. But he cannot bring a vadai karban, because he's still going to be a suffix. Now, let's imagine that he saw Shnei Yamin, but he only saw the Bein HaShmoshes, right? So let's say it's the evening after Sunday, and during the time between Shkia and between Tzeis HaKochavim, it claims that something changed with the mic. Is everything okay? Man, it's nuts. It always does this. Okay, so he's not sure. Did he see on two consecutive days? Well, he saw again Bein HaShmoshes on the next night. So it was Monday night after Shkia. So now we don't know what he is. Over there, he's a total suffix. He's a suffix for carbon for sure. Even in the previous case, he was a suffix for carbon. But over here, he may not even be tummy. Because, I mean, let's imagine that part of his re'iyah the first night was on the side of the Sunday, the tipping point. I mean, we don't know when the tipping point is. So maybe that re'iyah was on the Sunday side of the tipping point, and the next re'iyah was on the Tuesday side of the Monday night tipping point. So then he never became a Zov. He was only a Balkari. And he's not required to keep Shivas Nekiyim. He's not going to be Tami Mishkev U'Moshev. We certainly don't know that he's Chayav a Karban. He might be, you know, because, I mean, if it was right at the tipping point, then that Re'iyah was split into two. And then maybe the Re'iyah on the next night, on Monday night, was on the side of the Monday that would be Mechaberit to the other one. And it wasn't on the next day. I mean, I don't know. So he might be chayev a carbon. Maybe he was Rea Arbarias. Who knows? So he's a suffix tuma and a suffix carbon. And suppose he was only Rea once Bein HaShmoshes. For sure, he can't possibly be a Zav Gadol to be mechuyev a carbon. But he could be a Zav in terms of being Metami Mishkav U'Moshav, because maybe he had two re'iyas, and therefore he would need to keep Shivas Nekiyin. Okay, that would be a suffix, but that's not as big a suffix as also being a suffix for a carbon. So put it all together, and the very fact that we cannot know when the tipping point is in the Bein HaShmoshes, because of that, we're always going to have to take into consideration the possibility, l'chumra, that there were two re'iyas, or that there were zero re'iyas. The chumra in that case would be you're not allowed to bring your carbon if there was zero re'iyas, right? So we always are going to have to be machmir on all sides of the possible sveikas. And that's why the Mishnah spoke out all of the different possibilities. And that brings us to the end of Perek HaRo'eh, and hopefully a soon-to-be review. Okay, everyone, wishing...
A fascinating addition.
We've got an archaeological hand.
Oh, yeah.
But it's clothed in Gidim and in Basar.
Speaking of Gid, so it says Gad Yon, the Rash says, Milashon Orchin Litzad Legad Shulchan in Yitzayo, Malkam Shemidim Shemalcha Yavan Avada Zara. Like we say in Perek of Yishmael, Mizrachet Sfinis, by Ganze Beish Koshmalei Avni Mizbeach, Sheshitsu Adin Sheyaban, Sheshitsum Lavadazara, but Isam Malkam Karbin Mishilayachaya. Two things. A place of Avadazara from an earlier time is a few moments' walk from the Shiloach on the slope of the hill.
Mm.
I don't know if anything was found. Sometimes these things repeat itself. You know, they do it again. You reuse it. But a place that is dealt with as a cultic place, Singli Knani, is literally a two-minute walk from the Shiloh. It will be open to the public soon. You can already see it now. But secondly,
I beg to differ. It's only a one-minute walk from the Shiloh, because it was only two shiurim of tefillah and sipuk, which is...
If it's that one, I'll accept that. I think it's very doable. And I accept that. I think so. And secondly, but I don't know if it's this one, but that's just fascinating that there's a place of Avodah Zarah next to Shiloh. And secondly, what was announced at the Ir David conference this September is re-evaluating...
One moment. Was Barnea at the conference?
Not only was I at the conference, I've been in the dig. Yeah. I don't take a tour on the day of that conference because I learned so much.
Amazing.
It turns out that the Hashmonaim destroyed the Greek city and buried it under many feet of rubble and ruin. They were meichik.
Wow.
The Ir Nohrit. This was not known. They misinterpreted all kinds of things. They just figured it out now. You can now go down with me, right, and see, here's the hazmat.
That was a paid political announcement.
Here's the Greek. It's not open to the public, but I can take people.
It's even more of a paid political announcement now.
I won't charge anybody for the Shirley Nether. And then underneath that, the powerful Greek buildings. And you know, you have this base right next to Rebbe's old house. What's that Greek base? There was something powerful. And they found in the mikvah off the main square this beautiful column. They said, oh, there must have been some hush of a building. Because there was a deliberate destruction. In the Book of Maccabees, it talks about how Gezer was cleared from the Avodah Zarah and they threw everything out. This fits.
Wow.
With that approach. It's beautiful.
Wow.
The Hashmonaim destroyed the Greek aspects.
Beautiful.
Literally buried.
Wow.
Literally buried.
It's wonderful. That is really, really exciting. You might even get me to come.
Ready now.
Okay, that's amazing. Okay, Yasher Kochacha. Looking forward to seeing you all, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. To be able to start the second part. Kol Tov then. Wow.